Come on, man. We need to work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, and today it is John Schmelk. I can't even remember the last time you and I hosted a show together.
Probably the Combine, right?
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, I mean...
That was six hours of co-hosting.
But that's like, I mean, but that's special. I mean, that's like, that's a special show. I mean,
right.
Like, I mean, like here, like at the facility, like for real.
It's been a while.
It has been.
It has been a while.
It has been. So we welcome you in on this this Giants hump day, Wednesday afternoon here at the facility. It's pretty dead here, by the way.
Yeah, but you know what? This is kind of, you know, the scouts aren't back yet from their pro day, so they're not putting the board yet together. The players aren't here again until I think April 11th is when they show up for the first time. So this is kind of like the lull.
Wait a minute. You know there's a board somewhere in this facility.
Yeah, but it's nowhere close to being the final product, though.
No, not the final product, but I mean, listen, these guys, all season long, this is what they do. I truly believe my gut is telling me that the Giants know exactly who they want at 10. I just have this feeling. They know. We don't know, but they know. And that board is sitting somewhere here.
Here's what I would say. I think right now Jerry Reese probably has an idea of who he thinks he wants to get. But until they sit down with all the scouts and they come to a consensus, you know, they don't know for sure. And remember, they're still getting some injury reports when these guys have their rechecks before you have the draft at the end of April. You know, guys like Jalen Smith, guys like Miles Jack, a guy like Shaq Lawson, I think, is getting a shoulder rechecked. So they have to go through all that injury stuff, too, to finalize the board. But when things really start coming together, it's about, I'd say, 2 weeks before the draft. So figure around, like, April 14th or so, when the scouts are here for a whole weekend, then a whole week, and they get their final board together, they get their rows with first round grades, second round grades, and things like that, and then the Giants have a pretty good idea of what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I totally understand. I totally agree with you, like in regard to like the other rounds. And by the way, yesterday report came out in regard to all the picks that the Giants have. They have 6 picks. 10th in the first, 40th in the second, 71st in the third, 109th in the fourth, 149th in the fifth, and 184th in the sixth. But I really do believe that the Giants know exactly who's going to be there at 10 and who they want. Unless, of course, like I've been, you know, lobbying, I'll call it lobbying, for them to trade up to get Miles Jack because I'm such a big Miles Jack fan.
Well, I'll say this. I think they probably know. They have an idea of who, like, their top 10 or 12 players are, and whichever one of those guys is left is who they're going to take. I still think there's some question of who's going to be there. I don't think we know quite yet. I think we know some guys aren't going to be there. Like, I think the guys we know that aren't going to be there, Anita, are the same usual suspects we've talked about. You know, the Laremy Tunsils, the Joey Bosas, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack. I'd say probably DeForest Buckner's probably not going to be there. I don't know for sure, but I'd say probably not.
Two quarterbacks.
I think the two quarterbacks would be
gone.
Not
that the Giants would be.
Correct.
But then I think one of them.
The guys that I think we don't know about, will Ezekiel Elliott get to 10? Or is he going to go to Philly at 8? Or is he earlier than that? Some people think Dallas at 4. I don't buy that, but some people think that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Is Vernon Hargreaves going to be there at 10? He's been mocked to the Bucks a lot at number 9. Is Ronnie Stanley going to be there? I've seen him get mocked to the Eagles at 8. One of those three guys is going to have to be there, assuming the two quarterbacks go in the top 10 to either Cleveland, Dallas, or San Francisco, which seems to be the popular thought right now. So one of those three guys is going to have to be there simply by the numbers.
Well, the three guys that I'm hearing a lot, when you talk to the so-called, you know, draft experts and analysts like Todd McShay, and now I think he's on 4.0, right? By the time we get to the end of April, what is it, like 12.0 or something like that? We're only at 4.0. I get it.
Well, you know what he starts doing, too? He starts going like 4.2, and then he gets like 12.3 because he updates like 3 times in a week.
Like, what are these guys doing? But in him and you know, and I'm surfing the web. I'm all over the place. I'm calling. I'm talking to folks. The three names: Vernon Hargreaves,
yep,
Shaq Lawson, mm-hmm, and Leonard Floyd. And I think linebacker Leonard Floyd from Georgia is a guy that I think absolutely, positively will be there at 10. But, you know, again, I mean, you know, these are Giants might value him more than somebody else. But these are the three guys that keep on coming up time and time again when I'm kind of surfing the web.
I have seen Leonard Floyd pop up in a lot of these mock drafts as well. I honestly don't think he's a real good fit at 10, and here's why. He's 6'6", 244 pounds, right? So that's too small to play defensive end. You can't have a 6'6 guy, 244 playing D end. He's going to get pushed around and slapped around. So he's a guy then that you're going to have to put out there and play at 4-3 outside linebacker. Maybe you can make him a rush guy on, you know, third down when you go to your nickel and you can have the NASCAR package, all that sort of stuff. I'm just not sure I'd love him as a fit as a 4-3 linebacker. If the Giants were playing a 3-4 and you ought to put him as a stand-up outside rusher, I think it's great. I like your other two names. I think those are real possibilities. Not a huge Floyd fan at number 10.
I heard athletically he's absolutely he's a complete beast. Maybe he's a work in progress. Maybe he needs to put on a little bit more weight. Whatever the case may be, I heard that he potentially could be a huge steal in this draft. But those are the three names that are out there. We do have a special guest who's going to be joining us today. His name is Parrish Alford. He writes for the Daily Journal, and he was at Ole Miss's Pro Day,
which was yesterday.
Yep. And he's going to join us because obviously a number of players that obviously we're going to talk to him about. Why don't you tee that up for everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of guys coming out of Ole Miss. They've had a couple really good seasons in a row. So, obviously, if you watched their pro day yesterday, I believe it was covered live on NFL Network in the morning if you check that out. Potentially the first overall pick in the draft, Laramie Tunsil. We won't spend a ton of time on him simply because there's probably no chance he's going to be in the
Giants.
He's
probably going to go to Tennessee, right?
Right, or one. And I've also heard three to San Diego if Tennessee decides to go with Jalen Ramsey, which I understand has become a legit possibility for them with the first overall pick. I think they're still going to go with Tunsil. You got to protect Mariota. I think it's the right move.
Right.
He can move. He's athletic. You can run some of that read option stuff with Mariota, which they don't do a ton of, but you can. The two guys that I think are really interesting that could be in play for the Giants at some point are Laquon Treadwell, the wide receiver. He did not run at the combine. He ran around a 4.65 yesterday, which for a wide receiver is not great. But he's big. He can get the ball, things like that. So we'll talk about Laquon Treadwell. Then the third guy we'll talk about is Robert Kimdichie, the big defensive tackle who has all the physical characteristics you want, Anita. He's 6'3", he's 294 pounds. All his combine numbers are great. But he's a guy that has been inconsistent in the past, and I think those are the three guys we'll probably focus on with Parrish coming up right now.
And he's on the line. Let's bring him on. Parrish Alford, thank you so much for joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and, of course, John Schmelk. You've got a lot of Giants fans, obviously, that are watching this show each and afternoon, so we wanted to have you come on. I know that you attended Ole Miss's Pro Day. Tunsil, offensive lineman, a lot of people expecting him to go in the top three, possibly one to Tennessee, so don't want to spend a lot of time on him. But quickly, in regard to what did you see from him at the pro day that you feel that possibly Tennessee is going to say, that is our can't-miss offensive line to protect our quarterback, Marcus Mariota?
Well, I think the biggest thing was the Titans had several front office people there, so obviously there's a lot of interest. I know they haven't tipped their hand completely with what they'll do with that pick. But Tunsil, he showed strength at Pro Day with 34 reps at 225 pounds on the bench press. And that was a little surprising, to Hugh Freeze, his coach, and some others. But that was an area that he set his mind that he wanted to improve. He had 30 as a goal for the bench press. He did not bench at the combine. And people rave about his athleticism and footwork, and they're a little iffy on his strength, but I think he addressed that with his bench press at Pro Day.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think what people really, go nuts about when it comes to Laramie Tunsil, Parrish, he's 6'5", 310, and people say he moves like a dancer. That's the word that I've heard. He's that nimble in terms of being on his toes, changing direction, obviously going back and forth in his pass protection. Just watching him physically, up close at the pro day, did he stand out compared to all the other big guys running around? Just, wow, this guy is an unbelievable athlete given his size.
Well, he did, but we've seen that before, so that was not surprising to those of us who have covered Ole Miss. I mean, he has footwork like I have not seen before in a player of that size. I mean, he's an athlete. Talk about Laramie as a basketball player. You hear his teammates talk about him running point guard, you know, in their pickup games and things like that. And, you know, to me, what defines him is the game that he came back against Texas A&M. He'd been suspended for 7 games, had the NCAA issue. He comes back, has no game reps this season, and he's going up against Myles Garrett from Texas A&M, one of the best speed rushers in the nation. And he just dominates. He comes just right back and just dominates a player of that caliber right away. Keeps his body between Garrett and the quarterback. And just, you know, Garrett had a couple of tackles for loss, made a couple of plays at the line of scrimmage, but he did not rush the passer, get in the backfield, and disrupt the way he normally does. It was a dominant performance by Tunsil in his first game of the year, which was like almost November.
Hey, Parrish, one more quickie on me about Tunsil. What type of guy is he? Is he a guy that's self-motivated? Is he a type A personality? Is he more laid back? Is this a guy you worry about at all off the field? Is he a good kid? What's your impression of him as a person in terms of off-the-field stuff and then in terms of motivation as a player, personality on the field?
I think he's a good kid. I think he is motivated. I think he arrived at the college game thinking that he was a 3-year guy. And that, and he set his goal for that, and you know, and he's worked. He's continued to improve throughout his career. He had the suspension. I don't think that is there's a pattern there. I don't think that's a window to a larger character issue. He's a low key guy. He's not a guy you're going to see on social media. He's not a guy who is typically around trouble. I just don't think there are issues off the field for Laramie Tunsil.
I like that. Not a guy you're going to see on social media, but an offensive lineman who runs the point. I mean, come on. That's unbelievable. Parrish Alford joining us here. He's with the Daily Journal, attended Ole Miss's Pro Day. I guess more Giants fans do want to hear about wide receiver Laquon Treadwell. Now, will he be available at 10? Some drafts predict that he will. Some drafts predict that he will not. Talk about what you saw from his Pro Day. What stood out?
You know, just the way he catches the ball. I mean, Laquon is such a physical player. You know, the ball doesn't get into his body. He catches it with his hands. You know, and he's just at the point of attack, he just wins. He just wins the point of attack. And speed for him is such a talking point right now. And obviously, you only have a handful of drills here. And a 40-yard dash is huge. It's been around a long time. It's a big talking point. He ran a 4.63. I think I saw someone report that only 9 people ran slower at the combine than 4.63. I just, you know, me personally, when you're looking at these drills and you're looking at these scores, you know, what does a tenth of a second mean? What does 0.15 of a second in your time mean? Now, I'm sure a lot of NFL executives can answer that question, but I have a hard time gauging the difference there. And I, you know, between the lines, yeah, I see this guy as such a physical player, you know, just really snatching the ball away from defensive backs, winning at the point of attack there, and then becoming so hard to tackle. Just a strong player with his movement going forward. Just, yeah, he's just that kind of player. You know, can you forgive the speed? Can you forgive the 40 time? I think if you don't, you're missing a great player.
You know, Parrish, and I think what the 40 time does, and I agree with you, I don't think you can kind of hang yourself up on these numbers, because a lot of time, you know, game speed is much more important than speed in shorts and a t-shirt when they're running with no pads on, no helmet on, things like that. But I think, at least from what I've read from people that have watched Treadwell a lot, and I'd love to get your opinion on it, whether or not you agree with this assessment, given how much you've seen him, is that when you watched him during the year, you didn't see a ton of separation. Like you said, he has great hands. He makes the contested catches, but he doesn't necessarily run away from defensive backs, creating a lot of separation, which is why people are concerned about his speed. When you watched him during the year, did you see him create a lot of separation from defensive backs, or was it mostly contested catches?
Yeah, it's mostly contested. I think that is a fair observation of Treadwell. No, he's not going to just burn people, and he's not going to be 2 yards behind a defensive back.
Got it.
But when he is 6 inches behind a defensive back, it's going to seem like he's 2 yards behind him because he's going to make the catch. You know, he gets when he looks like he's covered, he's going to be more open than most receivers.
Now, and I think the other thing, Parrish, that people asked about too, they were a little disappointed on the vertical leap. I think it came in at 31 inches, and you can please correct me if I'm wrong on that. Do you think that is a fair representation of what his ability is to go up and get the ball, or do you think that's one of those deals where he does better at that on game day than that number might portray?
I think he does better on game day. He's going to be contested a lot of the time, but he is so strong at the point of attack that you tend to overlook the fact that he didn't leap, a foot above the defender. I mean, that's just what I've seen from him in 3 years, that you don't see a lot of drops. You see a lot of focus. You see a work ethic. You see a competitive streak. You see these things. He's just he's just a guy that wins the catch.
Parrish, if you can, for some of our viewers out there that are trying to envision what you're talking about, give us a wide receiver in the NFL that you feel kind of identifies his skill set and what you think he can amount to be.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a hard time making that comparison because I watch very little of the NFL. I see highlights. I see things of, I see little bits here and there. I would be hard pressed to really pull out a receiver and give a fair comparison like that. So I'll pass on that one.
Well, Parrish, how about this? I know he suffered a pretty serious leg injury after the 2014 season, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Did you think he looked like a different player this year? Did it look like he maybe lost some explosiveness? And do you think some of that might come back, given more time off of – I forget if it was a broken leg or a broken ankle – as he kind of separates himself and gives himself more time after suffering that injury?
Yeah, I think that could come back. But, I've never considered him to be just that that explosive player that gets by people.
Right.
That's not him. That wasn't how he was used a lot. You're talking about a guy that, they're going to throw the fade to, they're going to throw a slant route. That's how he was used in college and was used very effectively there. But, he's a guy that came back from that injury with just so much more determination and strength, and that's when you read these evaluations on him. You get people that they talk about his competitive nature, and that's where he's strong. It's not going to be jumping high and running behind someone. I mean, those are not his strengths, but he's a guy that he doesn't quit. He's a worker. He stays late, catches balls, all these things. Everything that you think for the guy who is like the gym rat, that's Treadwell.
Parrish,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, Parrish Alford joining us from the Daily Journal, attended the Ole Miss pro day yesterday. I want to move on to Kim Dichey.
I have one quickie on Laquon Treadwell. Do you think it's a fair, Parrish, explanation of his skill set if I were to say Treadwell is a guy that the ball's in his vicinity, he's going to catch it? He has very good hands. There's no doubt he's going to be a very good possession receiver in the NFL. And he's somebody that once he has the ball in his hands can make more out of a play than maybe it was designed for. Is that a fair description, you think, of his skill set?
I think that absolutely sizes up his skill set. I think he's going to be a possession receiver. I think he's going to catch balls that are in the area. I think he's going to win one-on-one battles against the guys covering him. I think those are going to be his strengths, and those are the things that will set him apart in the NFL.
Perfect. Thank you.
Fantastic. All right, so let's move on to Kim Dichey. With a lot of people feel that this guy is going to be an absolute steal in the draft. What did you see from him yesterday?
Robert, he's going to have the scores because that's what he does. He's got great athleticism. I think he could be a guy who gets into the NFL and blossoms, and then all of a sudden Ole Miss fans are looking at him and thinking, oh, why didn't you do that here? The criticism of Robert at the college level was finishing plays. You look at him, he's a guy who had, seven tackles for loss and three sacks last year. That does not add up to what you see athletically. That doesn't add up to his ability. It's perplexing when you look at those numbers, and then you see the player. You see physically how gifted he is. And that's one of the knocks against him right now. Now, the other thing that I would see from Robert game to game is, you know, he might not get the sack, but he would blow up the pocket. He would be the guy that would just literally take his man and bull rush him and get him on his heels going backward. You know, maybe a quarterback steps up in the pocket and Robert didn't get to him. Maybe a teammate did, maybe he didn't, but he disrupted the pocket, disrupted the timing of the play. I saw that quite a bit. I saw a guy that played hard. I saw a guy that you would see chasing the ball and making plays or just being near the tackle, you know, when it was downfield. You know, I would see that from him. But, you know, the numbers, no, the numbers weren't there, and that's a knock against him right now. That's something he's having to answer a lot of questions about.
Yeah, and Parrish, you was asked those questions yesterday, and so were his head, so was his head coach. And one of your things in your opening statement there on him was that he does play hard. And I think a lot of the perception out there, and I haven't seen him near enough to make any decision from my own, so I'd love to get your take on it, is that some of his lack of production comes from a lack of motivation. And some people have thrown the word lazy out there, and his head coach yesterday really vehemently defended him on that charge. Your take, did you see him bring it 100% every game, every snap when he was out there?
Yeah, I did not see him every – I don't pay attention to him every snap.
Well, of
I'm going to tell you, when I'm just focusing on Robert Kendiche, I didn't see the lazy. I didn't see give up. I didn't see taking plays off. Okay, I saw a guy putting forth the effort, and I saw a guy getting frustrated who, you know, at times was better against certain blocking than other styles or something like that. But you know, he's a guy who is just can dominate, can disrupt a play, can disrupt an offense without making the play. The knock against him taking plays off, I didn't see that.
Fair enough. Now, he was a guy out of high school that was basically like the defensive line prospect coming out of high school, right? He was like the pick of the litter in terms of athleticism. That's the guy everybody wanted, and he went to Ole Miss, correct?
Yeah, he was the number one recruit overall, regardless of position.
So I guess, you know, that's the physicality and athleticism that people were like, wow, this guy is going to be an all-world guy in terms of production. But I guess the real mystery is why the production never matched the talent, right?
Yeah, and that is a mystery because, you know, you're the number one recruit coming in. There's a certain level of expectation, and you can talk about athleticism and you can look the part and show your skill set and all this, but bottom line, you're defensive lineman, and if you're not showing it with tackles for loss and sacks, it's hard to explain.
Parrish, here's a tweet from one of our viewers. His name is Davin. And he said he's watched Treadwell the past two seasons, and it reminds him of a young Anquan Boldin. Just FYI.
yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'll look up Anquan Boldin. When I go off, I'll go with Ole Miss wherever they are on Saturday, and I'll invest 10 or 12 hours there. And if I come home and turn on an NFL game, then my wife looks at me like, what are you doing?
Parrish.
Hey, you were gone all day yesterday.
Parrish,
okay,
trust me.
We got to get some things done.
Parrish, trust me. Parrish, as someone that covers the NFL the same way you cover college football, that's exactly what – your Sunday is my Saturday. I know exactly where you're coming from, my friend. real quick.
My heart goes out to both of you guys. I don't think I could ever date anyone who didn't dig football.
Well, no, they dig football, but eventually you have to pull your you-know-what out from the TV and actually do something on a weekend if you want to stay with that significant other.
Not me. You know. Saturday's all college. Sunday's Sunday, Monday – Thursday night, it's all football, and got to get on my program, or it's not going to work. But my heart goes out to you two gentlemen. What were you going to say, Parrish?
I was just going to say sometimes you got to move away. You know, the grass gets tall in the backyard. You got things to do. You got to do things to keep peace in the home.
Hey,
absolutely. Path of least resistance is the term I like to use, Parrish.
Maybe this is why I'm not married. Maybe this is the exact reason why I'm not married. Parrish, before I let you go, last question for me. I'm not sure if John has another one for you. Is being at the pro day, you know, you're around the scouts. Maybe there was a few GMs there, whatever the case. Who got the most? Who impressed them? Who was the one player that teams and scouts walked away from talking about that guy probably over dinner later on that night?
Well, I'll be honest with you. We were separated from the scouts, so we weren't allowed to watch with the scouts. The media was kept in a In a more restricted area. You know, typically of pro days, you have some guys that are off the radar that that score a little bit. You get some guys to go ooh and ah for their 40 times. One of those was Quintavious Burdett. He's a track guy at Ole Miss, but on the football team, he was a guy who bounced around to a couple of different positions, ended up at receiver, a spot player, a special teams player, very fast guy. So he, got a lot of ooh and ah with his 40 time, but you know what? Laquan Treadwell is going to make a roster, and Quintavious Burdett probably is not, because you got to be able to do more. You got to be able to do more than run in a straight line.
I know. Obviously, they had more than just those three players, Parrish, at the pro day. Is anybody else really making noise with the NFL scouts that people down there at Ole Miss believe will get drafted up on draft day and have a pretty good chance of making an NFL roster?
You know, they have several other players that are draftable. They have an All-American free safety who's not getting a lot of buzz, wasn't invited to any of the All-Star competitions or the Combine, Trey Elston. He's a guy to keep a lookout for. But, you know, somebody that was impressive, and this goes back to that buzz factor from Pro Day, Channing Ward is a defensive end, 280 pounds, very athletic, very muscular. He ran a 4.61 40 at 280 pounds. And he's a guy, again, he was never a full-time starter at Ole Miss, a role player throughout his career, but he was a special teams star. He was a guy carrying that bulk down the field that fast on kickoff teams, forced a fumble against Alabama in 2014, allowed Ole Miss to recover and go on and win the game. You know, made another big special teams play against Alabama this past season in 15. Just a great special teams player. A very coachable kid. It would not surprise me to see him make a roster somewhere.
Two other rapid fires from me. Does Tunsil believe from his camp, from what you've talked to people around him, that he's going to go number one? And does he really want? Does he care? Because I know Jalen Ramsey's out there kind of like, I got to go number one. I'm the number one guy. I should be number one. Does Tunsil care? Or is he like, yeah, wherever I wind up, I'm cool.
When I think there's some dollar signs whether you go one
two.
So, yeah, I'm sure he cares.
Yeah, he believes he'll go number one. He does care. He talked about that at the Combine, says it's been a goal of his. He wants to do it. But you're not going to see a lot. You know, you're not going to see that in a tweet from him. You're not going to see a social media rant from him. But it does matter to him.
All right, and I guess my other question is, you know, Eli Mann is a guy that we've had up here, obviously, a lot. And, you know, he's a very low-key guy. And, you know, he does his own thing, and he does a lot, but he doesn't like to be in front of the cameras doing it. How big of a deal is, like, Eli down there? Like, does he show up and, like, the crowds come and they all follow him around? You know, like, what's his presence down there and the Manning family in general? Give me a feel. I've never been to the campus.
That is a great question. Number one, the Manning family continues to be revered around Ole Miss. And you have to be of a certain age to remember Archie as a college player, but if you do, then you have a great appreciation for what Archie himself accomplished as a college player. In terms of Eli, he keeps a home in Oxford. I don't know how much he's there with I'm thinking at least one child and child getting older, and there's, you know, but I don't know how much he is still in Oxford. But I thought it was interesting for several years that Eli could come and spend time in Oxford. And he could go shop at Kroger, and he could do things like that. And it wasn't, a big, oh, my gosh, there's a superstar over there. It was almost like the community respected him and gave him his space. And I think he really appreciates Oxford as a small town and a college town and just, you know, his town. And, you know, every now and then you'll see a picture in the local paper of, here's Eli Manning reading to a group of children at the library or something like that. But I've always thought it was a recognition and appreciation of what he's done and just kind of giving him his space. You know, you don't it's not like he's at the restaurant and he can't eat or anything like that.
All right, there we go. I appreciate it. Parrish, awesome stuff. Thank you a lot for joining us. And we'll catch up next year as we get ready for the next crop of Ole Miss guys coming out from Ole Miss, all right?
All right, you guys have a good day.
Appreciate it. Parrish Alford from the Daily Journal covers Ole Miss. He's in a good spot.
who doesn't watch any NFL football. That's so funny to me.
Yeah, some people cover college. Some people cover the pros. I get it.
Want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings fantasy sports free to play. Obviously, fantasy football not going on right now, but baseball is. And don't forget.
Basketball, hockey, wrap it up too.
And golf.
Oh, golf is good. Bass coming up big time, right?
So a lot that you can dabble with on DraftKings. Make sure you get on it.
I have my two baseball drafts, one on Thursday, and then I have one on Saturday. Those are my two baseball leagues.
So I had an auction league.
I love auction.
With one of my coworkers at ESPN Radio, Dave Rothenberg, that was longer than reading War and Peace.
What, 6.5 hours?
Oh, my gosh. Started at 6 o'clock, didn't get over until 1:30 in the morning.
Auction drafts in person tend to drag. If you use the online utility, you can get them done 3.5. If you use, like, the CBS Sports, you know, thing where you can draft online with the automated thing, a lot faster. In person, marathon sessions.
Yes. And then last night I had one with Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, Tristan Cockcroft from ESPN Fantasy. So I had to be at the top of my game. So do you know Cynthia Freeland?
I do not.
She does all the analytics for the folks up there at Bristol.
Oh, and wow.
So
The ESPN Stats and Information crew?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I tapped into and I said, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you please send me your cheat sheet? And she did. So I
You're
feel
good friends, Anita.
So I feel pretty good about my team. But nonetheless, let's talk some football.
We got a full bank of calls here.
I know. And some great tweets.
Yes.
201-939-4513. So let's kick it off first and foremost with the callers. And I will work in the tweets. Tweet us at hashtag Giants Chat. Let's kick it off. Line one, we have AJ calling in from Carolina. AJ, welcome in.
Thanks for taking my call. The Ole Miss defensive tackle, do you think he will fall in the second round?
I think it'll be borderline whether he's there in round two. Here's the thing. I bet you Kim Dichie's a guy that's going to be all over the place on teams' draft boards. Because to see a guy that's a physical specimen that looks like he can do it all, yet in college he didn't do it all. So there's going to be some – and you know how this works, Nita. There's going to be some general manager out there and coach that's going to say, you know what? I can reach this kid. I can have him meet his full potential. And that team's probably going to pick him higher than his production would warrant. When that's going to happen, AJ, I'm not sure, but I bet you it'll be somewhere near the end of round one or the beginning of round two. That's my bet.
Okay, one more thing. I know the Giants post a bid on quarterback Joanne Powell for the Cardinals tomorrow. I hope they sign him. I know they need a nickel or corner.
No, look, the Giants need a third cornerback. And obviously, you know, on Giants.com, we don't talk about guys that visit. That's something we can't do, AJ, and thanks a lot for
okay.
the call. No problem, buddy. And, look, everyone knows the Giants need more cornerbacks. When you go into spring and summer, you're going to have 8 corners on the roster. Right now, I think the Giants have 4, maybe 5. So they're going to fill bodies, whether it's guys they draft, another veteran free agent, or undrafted rookie free agents at some point. They need more bodies in there at the corner position, Anita, no doubt about it.
Here's some tweets from some of you folks, and we thank you so much for tweeting us at Giants. This is from AJ. He says, Giants officially re-signed Jasper Brinkley yesterday. That's great news for the Giants.
We should have brought that up.
Bring veteran leadership and experience.
And if you want to see an exclusive one-on-one with Jasper Brinkley, head to Giants.com.
There you go.
Some good stuff.
There you go. This is from James. He said, Raglan, please. Please, please, exclamation, please, please.
And I think Brinkley's important, too, considering Keenan Robinson, how many games he's missed the last couple years with injury. You want to have that veteran middle linebacker behind him to compete. And if he doesn't win the job, if Keenan Robinson gets hurt, then you have Brinkley to step in and do the job. I'm not sure about Reggie Ragland at 10. I think that's a little high for my – I think it's a little rich for my blood.
This is from Ben. He says, if we're picking 20, I'd consider Treadwell. Receiver that can't separate isn't worth – the 10th pick. And you know what, Ben?
That.
I totally agree with you.
I'm with you.
Totally agree with you.
And this is the conversation we had last week, and we didn't do the show together, but I said, look, I want to see Treadwell run. And I can't pick a receiver at 10 if he's not doesn't have a chance to be a star. And I don't think Treadwell has a chance to be a star. I think he's going to be a very solid player. If I'm picking around 25, sure. Great. Sign me up. But not at 10. I think you can find guys with much higher ceilings.
Especially with the amount of quality talent that's coming out on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Chris. He says, what do you guys think about Leonard Floyd? We talked about him a little bit earlier on in the show. I mentioned that in reading a lot of the, you know, the the analysis that's out there, three names come up in regard to the Giants at 10. Vernon Hargraves, Shaq Lawson, and Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd, that and you and I talked about it, we think that he is a guy that very well could and should be there at 10. You know, if the Giants are in love with this guy, and I think he's a work in progress in regard to, I think once he does come in the NFL, he's going to have to gain some size and some strength.
Yeah.
But I hear he's like athletically just kissed by God, just phenomenal athleticism.
Yeah, he's the guy that was 4.6 40-yard dash. So at 244 pounds, he ran faster than Laquon Treadwell. A wide receiver did. He's a linebacker. He had a 39.5-inch vertical leap, 8 inches more than Treadwell, just to give you an example.
Yeah.
And he had a 127-inch broad jump, one of the best of all, you know, edge rushers at the combine. So, yeah, athletically, Anita, absolutely off the chart. Two other guys, I think, too, that I've seen in the mix are two offensive tackles, Ronnie Stanley out of Notre Dame and Jack Conklin out of Michigan State, that have also been talked about for the Giants at 10, if they want to go back to the offensive line, which would be the 3 out of 4 years, their first-round pick back to the O-line.
All right, let's continue with the calls, and I will go back and forth in regard to the tweets, so keep them coming. Hashtag Giants Chat. You know the number to get in, 201-939-4513. Let's go to line 3. Marcus is calling in from Philly. Marcus, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing this afternoon?
Great.
Doing great,
welcome
Marcus.
In.
How are you?
I'm all right. I just have a couple of things, and it's with free agency and the draft, and they kind of tie in with one another. I know that we still have a couple holes at free safety, at cornerback, not at cornerback, but cornerback depth, and wide receiver. But I believe right tackle, I was just actually just looking this morning. I see Luis Vasquez from Denver. He's still available. Big guy, about 6'5", about 335. Can play tackle and guard. I don't know if the Giants, you know, they've reached out and possibly talked to him and or anyone involved, you know, with him, possibly getting him and maybe plugging him up at the right tackle position. Have you guys heard anything about him?
Well, Vasquez, to me, at this point of his career, and I'll double-check where he played the last couple seasons, to me, he's more of a guard at this point. I would be much more comfortable putting Vasquez in a guard than I would a tackle, to be quite honest with you. Let me see if I have anything on Vasquez here coming up. Let me see. I think you investigate all the linemen that are out there. That's absolutely the case. I think that's a guy you look at. It depends, of course, also what type of money he's looking for. That's always something you worry about with these guys and how much they want in free agency. Let me see here if I can find Vasquez on this list.
By the way, while he's doing that, quick note, on Friday, all the position coaches are going to be made available to the media.
That's
it's
right.
A media day here at the facility. So, you know, we'll have a ton of interviews and whatnot. And that will be up on Giants.com. Just a quick little note.
Absolutely. And to me, and again, Marcus, I will. I need a couple minutes here to do a little work on Vasquez. I don't have that offhand in front of me. But to me, I don't know, depending on what his price is going to be, if he is necessarily a guy that is going to step in and be able to start at tackle for you day one. Last year, and I can just give you snaps-wise in terms of guard and tackle, Luis Vasquez, let's see, Denver. Yeah, Luis Vasquez did not play tackle for Denver last year. So now let me see how many snaps he had at guard. Last year at guard, Luis Vasquez played 889 snaps as a guard. So better pass blocker than a run blocker, quicker guy, not quite as strong. I think you'd rather have a guy on that right side that can block on the running game a little bit better. And again, he's a guard, Matt Walker. So if you want to tackle, I don't think Vasquez is your guy. He's more of a guard at this point. All right. Thanks, Marcus. Appreciate
he's
the call.
He's gone. I mean, but where it stands right now is, you know, everything I'm hearing is that Bobby Hart is going to have a true opportunity to compete for that right guard position. And right now, Marshall Newhouse is your starting right tackle.
Yeah, and frankly, from what McAdoo has said, and he said about Bobby Hart, and yeah, he'll have a chance to compete. Ben McAdoo seemed pretty happy with John Jerry when he spoke to the media at the owners' meetings a couple weeks ago. So to me, right now, John Jerry's your right guard. The way McAdoo talked about Marshall Newhouse, he said he really likes his depth. And, you know, how he provides a swing tackle on both sides. I think the Giants would like to have somebody out there to put out a right tackle. But Newhouse, right now, you're right, is the guy. Let's bring Marcus back on. He called us back. Marcus, go ahead. Like I said, Vasquez did not play tackle last year. In his age, he's more of a guard. So if you want to bring in a tackle, I don't think Vasquez is your guy, Marcus.
Okay. And just one more thing. Usually when you pick him in the top 10, you try to get that stud guy. And I know a lot of people may disagree with what I'm about to say, but I think this draft is so full of defensive players that can help us right away. I wouldn't mind seeing us move back a couple spots, maybe pick up an extra 2, maybe an extra 4 or 5, and look at either Darren Lee from Ohio State, because picking him at 10 wouldn't be reasonable. But if you can grab him, excuse me, at 15 or 16, I think that would be an awesome pick. And then maybe in the second round getting the receiver that we need. And before I go, just one more guy. Sheldon Day from Notre Dame, defensive tackle. This guy reminds me of Aaron Donald. He has a high motor. He can play inside. He can kick outside. And I just think the guy is awesome. Thank you for letting me get back on, and you guys have a great day. I'll listen to your hands off.
You got it. Thank you, Marcus. A lot of people like Lee a lot.
Darren Lee?
Yeah. I get a lot of Giants fans on Twitter who just really, really like Lee a lot. Let's continue with the calls. We go to line 2. Dean's calling in from Connecticut. Dean, welcome.
Hey, look, and Darren,
how we
Lee,
doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm spectacular. I just had a few things to touch on. First of all, I didn't know if you guys got the chance to look at Pro Football Focus's mock draft this morning. Anita's going to love this. They have Miles Jack falling all the way to 10 to the New York Football Giants.
Stop it!
Dream scenario,
Dean,
for me, to be honest.
Don't play around with me on a Wednesday. Come on!
I'm telling you, it's right there, Anita, right for you.
Hey, look! I saw that too. That was Sam Monson, who does join us on the show now and then.
I like Sam.
No, Sam does a great job.
I like his accent.
But absolutely. But I don't see it.
NFL Network, and they were killing Mr. Dottino today about why the Giants shouldn't take a wide receiver in the first round. And he made a great argument that there's plenty of talent to grab a receiver in the second round. We need to solidify the offensive line, the defensive line.
Look,
I personally think Hargraves is going to be off the board at that point as well. Eli Apple might be available, but I don't know if the Giants will really pull the gun on Eli Apple. What is your thoughts about that?
But wait, rewind. So they were killing Dottino because he was saying the Giants should not take a wide receiver in the first round?
Correct. He said they can grab one in the second round. He wants to focus on defense. And it was, I think it was
Elliot
Arrington and somebody else were pretty much bashing him. But he had a smile like he always does. So
I was going
to
say,
it was nice to see.
Elliot wasn't bashing him. Elliot's the biggest Dallas Cowboys fan on the planet, right? He wasn't bashing him, at
see,
least.
Now,
no, I think it was pretty much LeVar Arrington, to be honest with you. Mr. Nichols.
He is Mr. Nichols. Dean, here's what I would say. If there was a wide receiver worth picking at 10 that had that talent, I'd have no problem picking a wide receiver. But to me, this draft, just the way it's put together, doesn't have the type of wide receiver good enough to go at 10. So I wouldn't mind them picking one at 10 if there was one I thought that was a top 10 player in the draft. But to me, I can go through 15 defensive players alone before I get to my number one wide receiver, maybe more.
Well, I feel the same way, but like Laquon Treadwell, I mean, you never know what you're going to get with him. And when I look at him, I'm like, I dream, okay, we have Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz. Imagine we had the Plexico Burris type. He's not that fast, but he's tall and he can snatch balls out of the air.
Yeah, but hold on.
Who are you going to cover? Cruz? This guy? Odell? It's just a crapshoot at this point.
Let me just say this. Dean, we hope we have – or I shouldn't say we – yeah, I will say, we hope that Victor Cruz, will be back. I mean, with everything that we're hearing, and I mean, we're throwing those positive vibes out, but you still don't know,
You always have to stay positive.
I'm not saying I do, but just don't automatically assume that you're going to get the Victor Cruz of old.
And
you just don't know. You got to hope that A, he can get on the field, and B, when he gets on the field, is he still going to be able to get that separation? Is he still going to make the moves he was able to make before? We don't know, Dean.
And Dean, frankly,
we will find out very soon.
We will, Dean. And frankly, people talk about Laquon Treadwell like he's 6'4". He's 6'2". You know, he's not Alshon Jeffrey at 6'4". He's not Calvin Johnson at 6'5". He's 6'2".
Agreed. You guys make valiant points, but let me just end on this. There's a guy I'm looking a lot of film on. He's a corner out of the University of New Haven, William Jackson III. I mean, it looks like he plays great press coverage. He's only 6'1", 189 pounds, but if we can grab him in the second round, and as far as I'm concerned, Trevin Wade is our nickel corner at this point, right? He did win the nickel job at the end of the season.
Well, yeah, but that was always because no one else was left that was healthy. They
kind of
had.
He was
the only guy left standing.
We definitely need to grab a corner. It's one of the first two rounds. And just in case something doesn't happen good back there, that's all I'm saying, and I'll take it off the air. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. And look, I think right now, Trevin Wade is the guy, but that doesn't mean he has to be your guy. You want to have some competition in that spot, too.
Let's go to line four. Greg calling in from Virginia. Greg, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing all well, right. Greg. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just want to talk about the draft a little bit. And I don't always agree with you, Anita, but I'm with you. We need Miles Jack. And
well,
I
that's great. He's not going
to
be there.
We got to move up to Jacksonville's spot to get it.
Now, don't be stupid. Don't go and trade your second-round pick to pick my – why would you want to trade your second-round pick where you're going to get a guy probably with a late first-round grade on him?
No, Miles Jack.
Yeah, oh, no, I know, but to move up to five, you're trading your second-round pick.
Because he is a special player. In my opinion, this draft has four special players. They are Tunsil, Ramsey, Elliott, and Jack.
Okay. So
those are the four premier players, in my opinion.
If that's the case, and Jacksonville thinks the way you think, and you're Jacksonville, what would you make the Giants give up to move from 10 to 5?
I'd give up my first and my third this year.
Nope.
And I'd give up my second next year.
Not enough.
Well, by the point scale, it is.
But you're counting a second-round pick next year as the same value as a second-round pick from this year, and that's not how NFL teams look at it. The Jaguars are trying to make a big improvement. That general manager and that coach are trying to save their jobs. You think they want a second-round pick in next year's draft and they're trying to save their jobs this year? I don't think so.
You think they're guaranteed to take Miles Jack over Joey Bosa?
No, but they're not going to get either guy if they move down to 10.
Right, but they still can get quality players.
No, well, hold on. Wait. So for the Giants, it's Miles Jack is much better than whoever they're getting at 10. But for the Jaguars, moving down to 10 is fine. You don't need one of those top five guys, right?
Well, it's all about the compensation, of course.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So the minimum package is your second-round pick this year. Are you going to – No. Wait. Are you going to trade your second-round pick this year and maybe your four, let's say, to move up from 10 to 5? Are you willing to do that?
Yes, I would, yes.
Okay, that's fine. I would not trade my second-round pick to do that. If you're willing to do that, then I think you'll have a chance. Though, Jacksonville, if they like those top five players as much as you do, Greg, which I think is possible because I agree, I think there's about five or six elite players in this draft. And if I'm in one of those five or six spots to get one of those elite players, I would need a lot in order to trade out of one of those spots. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. And, it's just my opinion. But
of course.
I just like Jack a lot. So I just think he could really, really improve our defense. And that's just an emotional, I want to trade up to get him and not worry about it. But,
of course, I gotcha.
so I want to start out with that. But I was curious, can you guys give me Jennings' age? Is he like 29 or 30?
Rashad Jennings. I believe Rashad Jennings is around
29 years old.
I will check that out right now, though.
So next year he'll be 30, and we can't assume that Andre Williams is all of a sudden going to jump his yards per carry 1.5 yards.
Hey, Greg, you know what? Greg, I was wrong. Rashad Jennings turned 31 on March 26th. Older than
right.
I thought. My mistake.
So the argument, I'm not saying you guys, but I've heard from some fans that there's no way we need a running back. If you go by the – well, once they're 30, they're done. And then we have another running back who hasn't been promising, to say it nicely. You could make a case that if a player as good as Elliott is all the way around at his position is there, you have to take him. Urban Meyer said he's the best player he's ever coached without the ball in his hand.
Greg, I will say this. And
we've seen him with the ball in his hand.
Look, Greg, I agree with you. I think if there's a good running back in this draft and you think he can help the team, I think you can definitely take a running back to help the group that's here. I don't think that's out of the question. Here's my thing on Ezekiel Elliott, all right? you have Shane Vereen on your team already, right? You figure Shane Vereen's going to play, what, about 35% of the snaps? 30%? So you're going to pick the you're going to use your 10th pick in the draft on a guy that's going to play just 65% of the snaps for you.
I mean, maybe for this year he learns the offense, and then next year, you know, you cut ties with Jennings. Andre Williams will more than likely have another subpar year. And then you roll with Elliott and Vereen.
No, but that's my point. Even if I'm not giving any carries to Jennings and Williams, I'm cutting them out completely, which I don't think is going to happen, by the way. But in this theoretical world where I cut those two guys out completely and you're going with a two-man running back team of Elliott and Vereen, Elliott's still only playing 65% of the snaps because Vereen's going to play 35%. And one of the biggest strengths of Elliott's game, and you know me, Anita, I love Ezekiel Elliott. I think he's a great player. He's a great pass protector, and he's a great receiver. You already have Shane Vereen to do those two things that Elliott's so good at. So to me, that limits the value he's going to bring your team, which makes me less likely to pick him at 10. He's still in the mix for me, but I'm not sure you're getting enough bang for your buck given that you already have Shane Vereen doing some of the things that Elliott's known to do so well.
My only take on that is that you go out and you draft Elliott. He's in your backfield. I think then you have the luxury of possibly having him and Shane Vereen on the field at the same time.
If you want to put Vereen in the slot.
You have a legitimate
triplet.
If you have Elliott, Beckham, and Manning on the field, that's legit.
You're right about that.
Elliott isn't just a running back, or you can he is a special player.
I don't disagree.
And that's why you would have to consider it. You could make many good arguments that maybe in year one we could get another player who might have more playing time than Elliott year one. But if you have that opportunity to grab him, I think you have to.
Greg, I think you make a great case, and I think it's something you definitely have to consider. I would not say no to that under any circumstance. I think you got to consider.
And
thanks a lot.
My last point, real quick. Okay, I saw a stat that no team has ever in 4 years of picking in the top 10 had no team ever has back to back used it on an offensive lineman.
You know what? I'd have to check that, Greg, and thanks a lot for the call. I'd have to check to see if that's true.
No
team that has had a top 10 pick in back-to-back years has ever used both picks on an offensive lineman. But then again, the Giants did not pick in the top 10 last year. They picked 11th. So that wouldn't apply anyway, would it?
Let's continue with our calls.
By the way, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. If you never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way you play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play.
Let's go to Lynn in Columbia. Lynn, welcome in.
Long time no speak, Lynn.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, pal?
Good. Yeah, it has been a while. Actually, you know, I think Anita would vouch for this. You know, there's a lot of things wrong with Florida, but March isn't one of them. I think the last time we talked, I was down there, John.
That's correct.
Yeah. Pretty good place to hang out in March.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I'm not ready to draw a line through Laquon Treadwell yet. And let me kind of build a little bit of an argument here. I'm not going to get too passionate about it, but I want to declare I'm not ready to draw a line through Treadwell.
Fair enough.
What bothers you guys?
I don't think has elite physical ability to be a game-changing wide receiver. And if I'm picking a 10 and I pick a wide receiver, I want somebody that can be a game-changer. I don't think Laquon Treadwell has the upside to be that guy. Could he do it? Maybe, yes, but I think the chance he is limited based on his physical talent.
Well, we need a wide receiver. You would agree with that.
Absolutely. And Len, if I'm picking at 20, I consider Treadwell. At 10, well, too rich for my blood.
Yeah, okay. So what you're saying is, and I think Anita, I'm trying to get Anita in this conversation.
Sorry
too.
About that.
I think what Anita is
it's
saying
hard,
is
it's
that
hard. I mean, it's hard when
30,
John's on the show.
20
I mean,
to 32. You're feeling pretty good today about Treadwell being there?
I feel good about Treadwell being there. I'm on the side of the page that says a possession receiver at 10, pass, especially with the amount of really phenomenal defensive players that are coming out. Lynn, I think especially this team goes best player on the board. I think if Treadwell's at 10, it's not him. Maybe Treadwell at 15, Treadwell at 20. Yeah, I think you can argue possibly best player on the board, not at 10.
If Treadwell gives you 6,800 and 8 touchdowns, just like Ruben Randall last year, do you pick him?
I'm not interested what Treadwell gives you as a rookie. I'm interested what Treadwell is going to give you when he's at his best in his prime years.
How did he do against the best cornerbacks in the SEC? That's the one thing we didn't ask the guy from the journal.
That's a good question. Let me take a look here. Look at Laquon Treadwell's game log from last year, Len. That's a good question. That's one I should have asked and I didn't.
Also,
and let me, while you're looking that up, let me ask you another one. Who's throwing him the ball? I don't remember a Mississippi quarterback getting mentioned here as a possible, even a possible draft pick.
Yeah, but Lynn, regardless.
Who's throwing him the ball?
But Lynn, regardless, who's ever throwing him the football, he's got a skill set that scouts have seen, you know, whether it was at the combine, whether it was at the pro day, whatever, game film.
Now,
he's got,
look,
you know what he is bringing to the table. You know,
okay,
you know.
The scouts are going to know better than I do for sure, Anita. There's no question about this. But here's what I want to know.
Let's do this, Lynn.
The quarterback can't get the ball out
Let's do this. You have the number 10 pick, okay?
Yeah.
Are you going to spend that on Anquan Boldin or Ray Lewis?
Well, Anquan.
Ray, are you going to spend that number 10 pick on Anquan Boldin or Ray Lewis? What you going to do, Lynn?
You mean when they were coming out of the draft?
I'm saying you've seen their careers.
Yes.
What number 10?
Wow, you know that's a good that's a good question, or both, because I was going to bring Boldin into it, but for another reason. But
I
like middle linebackers. I probably would have gone
with
Lewis.
That's what a lot of people are equating Miles Jack to potentially being the next. The next Ray Lewis, where a lot of people are equating Treadwell being the next Anquan Boldin.
Right,
so
Lynn,
if there's any truth to those analogies.
Let me just say this about on draft day, Anita, and you might remember this 5 years ago. On draft day, Prince dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he drop?
Because
5 years later, it's a heck of a good question. Why suddenly does this guy, who was a big-time pick, dropping the, why is Miles Jack, now dropping PFF?
Well, remember, PFF does these mock drafts based on their grades. They're not locked in the NFL front offices,
okay.
Glenn. So I don't think he is dropping. And by the way, I have the Laquon Treadwell's numbers here. Against some of the best teams, Alabama 5 for 80, Florida 5 for 42, LSU 4 for 58, Mississippi State 4 for 22. Oklahoma State 6 for 71. His biggest games came against Vanderbilt, 8 for 135. New Mexico State, 8 for 136. Memphis, 14 for 144. Texas A&M, 5 for 102. Arkansas, 7 for 132. And Auburn, 7 for 114. So I think he did much better against worse competition.
Yeah. That's pretty clear from those numbers.
Yep.
That's pretty clear. But still,
we gotta
remember, against those teams that he's playing against, it's the SEC.
No, you're right.
You mentioned those teams. Now, let me say something about Boldin.
Real fast,
you know,
Len,
a lot of
up.
People want us to go and sign Anquan Boldin. I mean, what's Anquan Boldin's time in the 40, and what was his time when he came out?
Yeah, but you're not.
How about Akeem Nicks? Nicks ran 4.6.
No, but Len, you're not giving Anquan Boldin the value of the 10th pick in the draft. You're giving Anquan Boldin a couple million dollars a year. You're not paying him $8, $10 million a year here. You're getting him on a value contract.
I got you. Listen, these are all great arguments. It's all about I'm not ready to draw a line through Treadwell yet at 10. I guess that's maybe where
that's
I'm coming
fair.
From.
Sounds good.
And I'm trying to talk my way through that. I'm not ready to draw a line through Laquon Treadwell at 10. If for no other reason, guys, we're in tough shape at wide receiver. I mean, you know, in the industry that I came out of, if we needed a history professor, We didn't hire a chemistry professor. We hired a history professor.
No, but I said, but Len, you can pick a wide receiver in the second
Len,
round.
By the way,
thanks
thank
a lot for the call.
Thank
we got to run. Remember, you could get a wide receiver in the second round.
Maybe, a wide receiver in the fourth round.
You know, but you can get the second or third or fourth best
and,
wide receiver in the second
and
round,
I don't know
and
why,
he might be just as good as Treadwell.
And I don't know why this guy, his name always escapes me, but Minnesota Vikings this season.
Oh, shoot.
Surpassed.
You asked this last week, and I remember the kid's name. Now I don't remember it.
Yeah.
The young guy that came out. Diggs. There we go.
Fourth round, I believe. Fourth
exactly.
round. Which, by the way, we're getting blown up on Twitter here. Flowers, ninth pick.
Oh, they were ninth last year. That's right. It was 2 years ago. They were 11. That's my bad.
That's all right. All right. Listen, we've got Charlie and David. I want to get you
my
guys.
Fault, guys.
I want to get
my
you guys
fault.
On because you've been holding on. But I got to make it quick, and I apologize. So let's go to line three. Charlie, what you got for us?
Hey, what I got for you, moving on up to the top of the draft. No, we should move up. We should take Jack. Or if we don't go for Jack, and, yeah, I would give up a second-round pick, but if we don't go for Jack, but also there was an article out that moving up or moving down is not going to be as dear in giving things up as there were in the past years. There was an article that this guy put out and said, you know, the picks aren't going to be as high as they were last year or the year before. But anyway, if we don't go up and get Jack, then we should definitely get Jalen Smith. We should definitely make a concerned effort to get him because on everybody's board, you know how great Jack is? Jalen Smith was number one and Jack was number two. Pretty much on everybody's board as the linebacker. So that tells me that this dude was better or at least as good as Miles Jack. And we might be able to get a steal from this guy. So I would focus on that. But what we're going
to
do...
I think you'd have to be your second-round pick, by the way, Charlie. I think if you want Smith, I think you'd have to pick him in the second round. I don't think he'd get you in round three.
Yeah, I think we'd have to move up in the second round. Not too far, just maybe four or five spots. But anyway, what I think is going to happen, because JR has not finished free agency, because we still don't have a tackle... We still don't have a safety, but because we don't have a tackle, we didn't get a veteran right tackle, he is going to pick a tackle at 10. It's either going to be Stanley if he drops, or they're going to pick Conklin or Decker because he's going to do that because he failed in free agency. So we're not going to get an impact player. We're not going to get a wide receiver. We're not going to get a running back. We're not going to get, that. We're going to go for offensive line. Because that is the need, and we don't always pick the best player available. That's all I got, guys.
All right,
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Charlie, I think it's very possible that the Giants pick an offensive lineman there. Absolutely. And I think
in the first round?
And I think, frankly, Ronnie Stanley gives you value. Look, do I think it's likely? I think they'd probably go a different direction based on Jerry Reese's draft history, but I don't think it's out of the question.
I'm thinking defensive player in the first round, top 10 pick. I think that's a defensive player, whether it's a lineman or a linebacker, and then I think they go either offensive lineman or wide receiver in the second round. I'm thinking more offensive lineman.
Very possible.
And then and then after that, I think it's – and you know this. It's kind of hard to decipher who you think or where you think a guy's going to go it's a domino effect.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You're
all right. Let's end with David. He's calling in from North Carolina.
Bonus
David,
Big Blue Kickoff Live.
That's right. David, in the show strong, my friend.
All right. Hard to make it quick. Got a lot to say, but, Charlie cracks me up. We all love to get Miles Jack, and I don't want to rehash the past. Look at our roster, guys. We don't have any depth. I mean, we can't give away draft picks.
This team is in
dire need of just bodies. We cannot trade. We can't afford to trade any draft picks the next 2 years. Period.
You are correct.
Period.
Yes, correct. You are correct. Yes.
Next point. I don't think Jack's going to fall. I mean, yes, we'd all take him there. I don't like taking corners in the top 10. They're just it's too risky. It's too tough of a position to judge. It's a tough position to translate into the NFL.
Fair enough.
I don't understand. Honestly, I'm kind of glad because I think he's definitely going to be there, but I'm just on the Lawson bandwagon. The guy checks all the boxes except for not starting for 3 years. the medical is clear, the production is clear. I like his frame to be able to put on more weight and more bulk, and I think he's already at a pretty good size coming in, especially for today's NFL. When you look at our defensive line, yes, double O, hope to God he's healthy. He's not a pass rusher. They said when they drafted him they were going to have to develop his pass rushing skill.
That's correct.
JPP, hey, we all hope he finishes his career as a Giant. It's too much of an unknown. We have no defensive line edge rushers that we can pencil in other than Oliver.
Olivier Vernon.
You know, yeah, Olivier Vernon. And so I think it's a no-brainer. And to me, I know the Giants are going to try to take the best position available, best player available. But think about it from a team, just if you were building a team. Okay, I've got Eric Flowers, I've got Justin Pugh, I've got Weston Richburg, I've got Odell Beckham. Who in the heck do I have on the defensive side of the ball besides Vernon and Jonathan Hankins, whose contract's coming up, and maybe JPP, if we can work out some kind of long-term deal if it comes to light. I mean, you're looking at two or three players to build a team around. It has to be a defensive player.
David, if you want to pick Shaq Lawson with that pick, I think it's a very safe pick. I think he can rush the passer. I think he can stop the run. And thanks a lot for the call, man. We got to run. I would have no problem with that. I think Shaq Lawson is a very, very solid pick at number 10. I think, like you said, he checks a lot of the boxes you're looking for.
All right, so let's end on this.
Okay.
Because you obviously agree with – I'm sorry, our last caller, David.
David, yes.
You obviously agree with David. Now, again, Miles Jack has the – potential from everything that we're hearing of being the next Ray Lewis. Mm-hmm. And I know that everything in life is a gamble, especially when it comes to drafting players. You don't know how they're going to pan out and all that other stuff. Okay. But if I said to you at the end of his career, he will be that of the likes of a Ray Lewis, you won't be looking back on this day and saying, damn, he would have been worth giving up this year's second and next year's second.
If you're guaranteeing me a Hall of Fame career, then, yeah, obviously you have to think about it. But a million things can happen to a football player that short-circuits that.
So taking that risk, taking that gamble on a player that potentially has that skill set to be that dominant of a player in the NFL, it's not worth it.
To me, there's a level of gambling to every pick in the draft that you make. And I think – you know, one guy might be less of a gamble than another. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And a guy like Miles Jack is less of a gamble than whoever the Giants would pick as 10, because I think he's a more talented player. But to trade, let's say, two twos or something like that to move up from 10 to 5, I don't know. I mean, if all I have to give up is 1-2, maybe I think about it, maybe. But, and frankly, if I'm the Jaguars at 5 or the Cowboys at 4 or the Chargers at 3, whoever the Giants would have to, the Ravens at 6, and that premium player is on the board, if you're them, don't you hold up another team to get that premium player? Is a number 2 enough? I don't know. To me, I'm always leery of moving up in the draft. It scares me because you can move up, and what happens if like last year. Everyone loved Dante Fowler. I love Dante Fowler. Giant fans wanted the Giants to trade up and get Dante Fowler. He was a 4-3 defense and that can rush the passer. What happens if you go out there and you trade two number twos for Dante Fowler, and on the first day of OTAs, the kid pops his ACL? You're screwed! I mean, there's no way to guarantee what's going to happen, but that's my thing. There is no guarantee, and that's why I hate giving away picks, because every pick is another chance to hit it big.
I just feel that in life, there's always, there's certain players that come around that are just very special, that are unique, that are playmakers,
that
are difference makers, that change the dynamic, change the course of history.
Didn't everyone say that about Jadeveon Clowney three years ago?
For a team. And yeah. I think Miles Jack is one of those guys. But that's me.
And he could be, but and that's the thing. You know, everyone thought Jadeveon Clowney was going to be a top pass rusher in the NFL. Look what's happened to him.
Not so much. First overall
pick.
I know, but I heard the concerns.
Sure, but there were concerns about Miles Jack's knee.
Only time will tell.
Yeah, well, and look, I love Miles Jack too. I'm just very leery of trading up. It's not something I like to do.
So you're back on tomorrow with Lance Meadow.
Correct. We should have a draft guy on doing overall draft stuff tomorrow.
And I'll be on Friday again. A quick reminder: all the position coaches and offense defensive coordinators as well?
Are the coordinators available on Friday in LA, do we know, or no? They are,
yeah.
Right? The coordinators,
so coordinators,
I think they
coaches,
are, yeah.
Everybody going to be made available to the media on Friday morning. So make sure not only
they're going up today,
tune in to Big Blue Kickoff Live, but also stay tuned to Giants.com because those interviews will be posted on Friday.
And also Bob Papa sat down with all of our new coaches and our coordinators. The offensive ones will go up today and defense and special teams tomorrow. So go to Giants.com to check out those interviews. They'll go up there before they talk to the general media. Bob Papa exclusives. Check it out.
Fantastic. So fun afternoon. Everybody enjoy your evening. And Lance Meadow and John Schmelk will be back with you tomorrow right here, high noon on Giants.com.
You got it.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.